It's easy for fans to assume that pro athletes lead glorious lives right up until it becomes apparent that some of them don't. We'll lead off our discussion of three stories you should know with a reminder of one such story. Joining me this week are USA Today columnist Nancy Armour and sports journalist Eric Malinowski. Welcome back to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me.
And Eric, we're going to begin with you. Go ahead with your story, please.
Thanks, Bill. There was a wonderful profile this week from Lindsay Adler at BuzzFeed. She went back to the University of Texas at Austin to go to class with former NFL running back Ricky Williams, who is studying for his PhD in psychology. Now, Williams had a respectable 11-year professional career, but so much of his promise was derailed by his social anxiety disorder. Now, he entered the NFL in 1999, and the profile got me thinking about how far it is that we've come since then regarding sports and the stigma of social anxiety. One notable example is Zach Greinke of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who's talked about his own struggles for about a decade, and he's in the midst of a historic season right now. But at the same time, I couldn't name you five more baseball players who've been even a fraction as open about it as Greinke has. So I feel like there's still much more that we can do in terms of awareness, but we've certainly reached some point where careers need not be derailed as a result of it. And I guess reading the piece just kind of made me wish that we'd had this level of openness when Williams was a 22-year-old rookie back in New Orleans and not a 38-year-old doctoral student in Austin.
Nancy, is this stigmatization of athletes with emotional problems or mental issues something that you've encountered in your work?
Well, it's ironic that, Eric, you bring the story up this week because this is also the week that Susie Faber-Hamilton is coming out with her book, and completely different scenario, but also tied to mental health issues. You know, there is still the stigma. They have spent their entire lives training to be the best, to be perfect. It is great to see people like Ricky Williams and others speaking out about it. That lets other people, whether they're athletes or not, know that, you know what, it's okay. This is not a flaw. This is part of who you are.
Probably fair to point out, Eric, that Ricky Williams has a long way to go. He's only an undergraduate now, and his PhD is a dream. But more power to him. I hope it works out. We spoke recently with Landon Donovan, and he very casually mentioned that he'd had a lot of therapy in order to get through some of the issues that he found he faced when he was going through his soccer career.
Yeah, and, you know, Landon has been very open. He's another great example, very open about struggling with things and meditating, taking time off. We can all learn from it. And the more we talk about it, the more people realize it's not a flaw.
Football coaches were in the news urging and even requiring their players to get more sleep, which is ironic because coaches never sleep. And if they do, they sleep in their offices on a couch so they can watch more film. It's time, I think, to challenge that mystique that says you can't be a great football coach unless you never go home for dinner and don't remember the names of your children. It's ridiculous. They ought to be able to do what they do in a more efficient way. And if they did, maybe we wouldn't have to pay them $5.5 million a year to do what they do. They're not brain surgeons. And brain surgeons get to go home for dinner. And this is my topic, and I'm ready to hear what you think about it, Nancy.
I agree with you 100%. Every time I've heard this, you know, a coach saying, oh, yeah, I was at the office until 4 in the morning. Why? What are you doing at 2 a.m. that you couldn't have been doing at 4 p.m. or even at 7 p.m.? I mean, come on. You're coaching football or basketball or whatever you're coaching. Like you said, it's not brain surgery. It's not rocket science.
Eric?
Yeah, you know, Nancy brought up, you know, the idea of coaches, you know, being in the office until 4 a.m. It seems like there's two kinds, the ones that are either in the office until 4 a.m. or the ones that get up at 4 a.m. You know, there was a very, very well-written profile of John Gruden in The New Yorker back in 2011. And keep in mind, this is after, you know, he was coaching. He's an analyst for ESPN at this point. Mm-hmm. But he would still get up every day at 3:17 in the morning just because that was an arbitrary alarm clock setting that he just never bothered to change. But, you know, this is something that has been perpetuated throughout the years, and it's kind of nice to see it kind of thawing a little bit.
Okay, Nancy, I understand that you have been keeping track of high school football in Texas, where some of
yes.
the players have taken the law into their own hands.
Yeah, we've actually had two incidents in a span of about 8 days in San Antonio. They're both in San Antonio. I'm not sure what's going on there. But in the first, two players basically blindsided a referee. Mm-hmm. And then about 8 days later, another player tackled a ref. The two players in the first incident said that they were told by their assistant coach to take out the ref. But either way, this is a really dangerous thing that we're seeing. And I hope that it's not going to be the start of a trend. Hopefully the reaction to it will let kids know that, yeah, no, this is not acceptable in any way, shape, or form.
I simply just find it incredible that with so much more focus being on youth football players today, and the idea that the coaches or coach or whoever would have the idea that they could order this hit, basically, and not have it come back around again is just kind of remarkable to me and just completely naive.
I share your feeling that it's dangerous, obviously, and it is deplorable without any question. I wonder, however, whether this is one of those things that we didn't hear very much about. It's always been going on to some small extent, but it hasn't always been filmed.
Well, it's interesting. One of my colleagues, Eric Brady, did a story earlier this week on this whole phenomenon. And one of the things that I found fascinating was a national organization of officials. It's always had insurance, but they now have assault insurance. The fact that they thought that this was a good thing to have, yeah, maybe it is going on more than we've thought. You hear an incident or two every couple months, it seems like. But yeah, if they feel that there's a need to insure against it, that's really troubling.
My guest for Three Stories You Should Know have been USA Today columnist Nancy Armour and sports journalist Eric Malinowski. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.